many of them just growing leaps and bounds spiritually, and that is just exciting and obviously a great reflection on our youth leadership with the Cruz family, and so we appreciate that. Tonight I had a thought, and I've had this thought for a while and just kind of been working on it, but just really could not get it out of my spirit. So I'm going to minister tonight on the thought of seasons. I've discovered that living for Christ is sometimes one adventure after another. Sometimes it's one season after another. I think that while the whole idea of seasons is that God is always getting us ready for something new, this season is always a preparation for the next season. And the next season will be different and bring about its own set of challenges, because life is one continuous cycle of seasons, isn't it? Every season builds on the previous one, but gives us a new start. We look outside at the world and around us, we notice things are different today than they were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, sometimes a year ago. Each season is different than the others. Some seasons are meant for things to grow, while other seasons are meant for things to die. Hello? Some seasons are meant for things to grow, while other seasons are meant for things to die. And in some seasons, the days are longer, or seem longer, daylight hours. In other seasons, the nights are longer. Sometimes it seems in our spiritual experience that our mountaintop experiences doesn't last as long as those nighttime experiences. Anybody notice that? In those long nights when the tears seem like they'll never stop flowing, it's good to remember that it's just a season. This too shall pass. You see the idea of seasons in how we live our lives right now. We enter a new season of life when we get a new job. We enter a new season when we get married. You ready to enter a new season? Where's Caleb at? He's not here tonight. We've got a couple couples getting ready to be married this year. You think you know them now? Wait till after I do. Huh? You have to pick up his dirty socks. Then when you have kids, it's a new season. Right? Nobody's ever ready for that season. No. Kids become teenagers. Wow, isn't that a season? Lord have mercy. When your children leave home, any empty nesters? When you move, when you retire. My office has kind of entered a new season, thanks to the wonderful hours of work of Sister Jackie, Brother Blankensop, Josh got in on it, I think, and Sister Sandy. I have about 7,000 books, and it was a little chaotic on my bookshelves. They got in there on Mondays, my day off, and they, it's categorized, alphabetized, author's last name. Oh, it feels good. Created a whole new atmosphere in there. I know where to go and pull a book down. So I've thanked them, I think, privately, but I want to thank you guys publicly. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. But all of these things are natural points of life that cause us to enter new seasons. And you see, we serve a God of life, and most all life goes through seasons. God created the four seasons. They're based upon the rotation of the earth as it orbits the sun. The seasons change as the earth moves, but the sun remains constant. Everything revolves around it. And in many ways, we see the signature of God, that same artist, in our lives, because much like the earth, our lives should revolve around the S-O-N. Hello? Christ the Son. Our lives will change. We will enter and exit many different seasons, but the sun remains constant. He said yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody thank you, Lord. Somebody say thank you, Lord. So as we serve a God of seasons, we must understand that God doesn't measure seasons with clocks and calendars like we do. He measures seasons by truth and revelation. We measure seasons by clocks and calendars. God measures seasons by truth and revelation. So God gives us revelations. He gives us truths that are to propel us into a new or a different season. Why? Because we are creatures of habit. And if He didn't change things, we would become complacent in one place, spiritually. God can give us, though, I like the fact that He can give us a fresh word. Anybody ever got a fresh word from God? And it caused you to step into a new season. I remember when I was just out of Bible school, I really didn't have much plans, and I was in that spiritual or ministerial limbo position, not really knowing which direction to go. And I had an open door, and a brother came to me after service one night, and he said, "I feel led." He said, "You can take it or leave it however you want." But he said, "I feel led that your ministry is going to change." And what he was saying is, I was going to go into a different season. And that happened. But there are times, like our text says, for everything, there's a season. There is a purpose for the seasons we go through spiritually. There's a reason for the season that you're in right now. There's a purpose for the process that you're in right now. Everything has a season, but there are times when we make a conscious choice to change our direction in life that causes us to enter a new season. Maybe we recognize that our life has not been moving in a positive direction, or really has not been working out so well, or God has convicted us in an area and he kind of stimulates a little motivation to change and get closer to Him. So we seek to change direction, if you will. And many times these moments of thinking through our life occur maybe at a natural point during a different season of our life. Maybe these times of reflection come around the beginning of the year, or maybe they come when you approach a major birthday. Maybe as well as during the natural changes of seasons that occur, which we spoke of, like maybe it's a time of marriage or having children. Things change and move to a different dimension. So even as those times, while things are changing already, we may sense a need for other changes that need to take place. And how many of you have ever got a new piece of furniture and you moved it into the living room? And, you know, you just got that season of change. Everything had to be moved around. Huh? How many know what I'm talking about?
And so it just, you know, while one thing is changing, you just get motivated to change other things. And so this not only takes place in individuals and not only in homes or corporations, but also churches as well. And some of you here tonight may be entering a new season of life as a natural occurrence, whether you have just become parents or whether you just got married or changed jobs or lost a job. There are even seasons we find ourselves in that we didn't want to go through. You're like, Lord, I didn't sign up for this one. Huh? But through those seasons, we learn some things, don't we? You know, and we wouldn't have learned them if we hadn't gone through that season. There are seasons we've gone through that you don't know why you had to go through it on this side yet. But since God is sovereign, how many know God's sovereign? We must believe that there's a reason for every season we go in. And just because you're going through some stuff or you've gone through a rough season doesn't mean God is finished with you yet. Isn't that a good thing to think about? I mean, Paul told the church at Philippi in chapter 1, verse 6 says, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." He did not just say any old work. He said it's a good work. It's a good work. Raise your hand and pray right now. Lord, continue the good work. Yeah, let's pray together. Lord, continue the good work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now turn to your neighbor and tell him, he's not finished with me yet. Yeah. Now, one of the most compelling Old Testament passages. Now, I'm gonna take my time tonight. One of the Old Testament passages on getting prepared and going through different seasons, I like to think of the story of David. I want us to examine six phases David went through as God prepared him. And you can actually follow along if you'd like. It's along, I think, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Okay? So who are we talking about? David. All right, I want to first talk about, number one, the shadow phase. Seen in 16 and 11. Chapter 16 and 11. And I want us to notice that deep lessons are learned in humble places. That's the shadow phase. David here, he's behind the scenes, but he's learning some truths in the shadows. What do you mean he's in the shadows? He's in the shadow of his brothers. They are the warriors at this time. Hello? They were involved in all the guy stuff, the fun stuff. While David was stuck in the field taking care of smelly sheep, learning, but he was learning about the nature of God. Hello. He was learning about the nature of God and how God leads his people. And he was writing songs. But notice that it was in this humble season that 1 Samuel 13, 14 says, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord had commanded him to be commander over his people." What made David the one? Well, it was the fact that he was a man after God's own heart. Even in the humble season, even in the shadow season, he kept his heart right. David will become one of the greatest men in the Bible, being mentioned more than 1,000 times in the pages of Scripture. That's more than Abraham, more than Moses, more than any other man in the New Testament. It's no accident that Jesus wasn't known as the son of Abraham or the follower of Moses. He was known as the son of who? David. Matthew 9, 27, and at least a dozen other places calls him the son of David. David kept his heart right during the shadow season. Number two, the calling season or phase. The calling. chapter 16, 13 through 14. This is when you receive a fresh awareness of God's call on your life and how He desires to use you personally. We can find David now kneeling before Samuel the prophet after having been selected out of all of Jesse's sons. And David now stood up, dripping with the oil of Samuel's anointing. Now it is right here that many believers think they have arrived. They're ready to be king. Look at me, I got anointing dripping off of me. Hello. But soon, David's daddy gives him back his staff and puts him right back in the sheepfold. Although he had been anointed, he was not to the promotion season yet. So he had to learn to entertain that anointing, and probably guard that anointing would be a better word, when others mocked him and said, "I thought you was too goody two shoes. I mean, the prophet picked you. He anointed you. Remember that day? What's that smell? You still smell like sheep. You little farm boy." Hello. You may have nothing in your outward semblance, nothing in your surroundings or circumstances right now to indicate the true call within. But some of you here, you know that call has been there. Hello. You felt that call, whether it was in a Sunday night service, a Sunday morning, or at a youth camp. You know that call was there. You have experienced the anointing of the Holy Ghost at some time or another. Let me tell you, please stay faithful. I said, please stay faithful. And in time, God will appoint His anointed. Praise God. You see, the final evidence of His call was not until He received the crown and was enthroned by Israel. But that did not come until 20 to 25 years later. Hello. You ask, what helped Him endure 20 or 25 years of not being able to live in that prophesied, promoted season? It was the anointing that He had kept, He had knelt under, and He had nourished it. And even in the dry seasons where it didn't look like anything was going to change for little David, but yet he got alone with God in the secret place that he later wrote about and the choir sang about. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon David was through Samuel's anointing oil on his head. The symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus was the dove that appeared from heaven. The symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples was the tongues of fire that appeared on their heads. Many are called but are not ready emotionally or spiritually or physically. But if they will guard the anointing, God will eventually bring them so they could step into a new season in their lives. Often there's lag time, though, between the calling of God and the engagement of the mission. So guard the anointing. I mean, keep it fresh. How do you keep the anointing fresh on your life? You worship like we were doing around here. You attend church and you put yourself in there just as faithfully as you can. And you... I said, you just guard your influence and guard your testimony and keep that fresh anointing in your life. Why? Because it's the anointing that's going to take you into the new season. Moses tried to liberate the Israelites on his own at first, didn't he? Why? I ain't going to stand for this. He killed one of my bubby. I mean, this guy was a Hebrew. So he slew the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. Listen, he tried to liberate the Israelites on the... But he wasn't ready yet. Hello? Only 40 years later would he be ready for the task God called him to.
All right, let's go on. Number three, the formation phase. 16 through 21 and 23 and into 17, 15. This is a season that is to form us. It is to bring forth the heart and skills that we will need in the next season. We see David going or doing something with his anointing. What's he doing? No, he's not on the throne yet. He's an armor bearer. Huh? He's holding someone else's weapons. He is soothing someone else's depression. Hello. By playing his harp. And he's watching over someone else's sheep. You know, keeping sheep was the servant's job. The fact that David was out keeping the sheep showed that the family of Jesse was not especially wealthy, because if they were, a servant would have been keeping the sheep. But they were not affluent enough to have enough servants. So David was not only a son, but he was a servant. And keeping the sheep was the servant's job. Listen, and here's the point. We'll never learn to lead until, first of all, we've learned to follow. And the thing is here, I'm plowing deep. You know what? This phase right here, the formation phase, many bail out at this phase. Why? Because they're too full of self. But hang in there, because God is forming you with the heart and skills that's going to be needed in the approaching season. Number four. The stirring phase. 17, 22 through 26. It is in this season that we experience an increased burden and desire related to a specific need. Now, I want you to see this, because it's here that David runs an errand for his father to go take some victuals to his brothers on the battleground. And he walks on the battlefield where his brothers were stationed, and he hears Goliath for the first time. And the louder Goliath shouted, the more David's heart was stirred. This is the stirring phase, season. It is in this season that God burdens an individual to reach out and meet a certain need, while others are ignoring it. Hello? We're stirred to the point where we're like, are you going to let him talk like that? The need becomes all-consuming to the point where it seems like we're hearing and seeing something different than anybody else. It's that God energy that builds up inside of us that says, I got to do something. I've been saved for a purpose. I've got to do something. It's the God-birthed passion inside of us that says, is there not a cause? Hello. Is there not a cause? Number five, the testing phase. 17, verses 28 through 40. Our desire to be used of God will always be tested and will always be opposed some way, somehow. I want you to see this. All of us run into the, quote, older brother syndrome at some time or another. You've been called of God and you're living a life pleasing to the Lord, and somebody looks at you and says, who do you think you are? Huh? That's the older brother syndrome. You don't belong here. You're not qualified to be here. Why, your motives are wrong. That was a test for David. Family. It came from his family. Sometimes family will oppose the work of God in our lives. Sometimes family will oppose your commitment to Christ. But remember, it happened to David. It'll probably happen to you. So don't tell them off. You may feel like it, but don't tell them off. Just tell yourself, this is only a test. Hello? It was a family test
Next, it was a trust test. Because it was during this time that David learned that he could not rely on another man's armor. King or not, as David did, we must learn in this season that we can't fight with someone else's armor. So we may have to exchange Saul's sword and armor and all the shiny, glistening goodies for a simple little slingshot and a stone simply because we know we've used it in the past and it's worked. We are not, let me tell somebody, you're not called to be someone else. God will use you and He will use your past like He did David's. So embrace it rather than discount it. Hello. Hallelujah. I got to move on. Number six, the bold step season or phase. That's verses 45 through 47. And I want you to notice, moving forward into new seasons will require steps of faith. I said big, sometimes big steps of faith to overcome fear. This season is always driven by faith, not fear. And David approaches Goliath and he speaks prophetically in the face of tremendous odds. And then with all of his heart, the Bible says he ran towards the... He didn't run away. He ran towards the challenge. He ran towards Goliath. And with God's anointing, released a death blow to the enemy of God's people. Church, let me tell you, this moment launched David into his destiny. He stepped into a new season. Can I tell you, God could be saying to Broadway, church, hey church, let's step into a new season. This is a We've been in a preparation season or preparation phase for a long time. Why don't we step into a new season? Listen, some people may bail out at this phase. Some God will sift out. Some will disqualify themselves. But some will say, God, I want to be a part of a brand new season of the Pentecostal power of the Holy Ghost fire in this place. Some will be caught totally off guard, but in time we'll say, devil, you can't hold me back because I've been in this season long enough and it's my turn to step into a new season. Somebody pray, Lord, whatever you're trying to teach me, help me to accept it and not ignore it so I can move on to the next season. All right. We've had an Old Testament example. We're halfway done. I want to give you a New Testament one. Is that okay? Uh-oh. I want us to take a look. A quick glance at the life of a disciple that I think all of us can identify with. I'm talking about Peter. Because he went through some drastic seasons in his life. And as we look at Peter's life, I want to show you three key principles about the seasons of our lives. So if you're taking notes, write these three seasons down. Number one, a new season brings new changes. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Looking at Peter, he entered into a new season when Jesus called him to come and follow him in Matthew chapter 4. One day Peter was just an ordinary fisherman until Jesus came by. And when Jesus came, gave Peter the word, his life changed drastically. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Peter stepped into a new season and was changed. He was transformed from a nobody into a somebody, a disciple. In other words, Jesus was going to make something Peter wasn't before. He was going to make something out of him he wasn't before. And there was more than just a change in vocation that occurred in Peter's life. There was an inward change after spending time with Jesus. And let me break it down for you, because the word make, when he said, and I will make you, in the Greek, actually means sprout forth. And that refers to growing and seasons, right? He said, and I will make, in the Greek, means I'm going to make you sprout forth. And the seasons in our lives have served a purpose. In other words, there's a seed down in there. Jesus noticed that seed down in there. And he said, okay, it's time for that seed to spring forth. Our fruitful season will sprout forth when we follow the words of Jesus. All right, so it brings, a new season brings new changes. Secondly, a new season brings new challenges. There's no doubt that when Peter was called to follow Christ, that he was faced not only with many changes in his life, but also with many challenges. His faith was challenged on many occasions. How many remember? It was challenged one time when he was urged by Christ, step out of the boat. Step out of the storm-battered boat. Walk on the water, Peter. Oh, hallelujah. We diss him for nearly drowning when we wouldn't have the courage to get out of the boat. His feelings were challenged again. One minute at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked him, who do you think I am? And he said, you're the Son of God. But the next minute, Jesus rebukes him. Turns his back to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Wow. Because Peter didn't want to see Jesus go to Jerusalem and get killed. Peter's traditions, his prejudices, were challenged when he followed Christ into Samaria, a town that was a no-no for kosher Jews. His humility was challenged when the Son of God, the light of the world, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, at the Last Supper, lowered himself to the point of a servant and washed Peter's feet. But in all of these instances, Peter stepped up to the challenge. But however, there was one particular time, it seems, that Peter stepped into a season of failure. And he went from a follower of Jesus to one who followed him at a distance. You remember that? When we step into a season where we feel dry and empty, and despite our best efforts, we feel as if we've let the Lord down, and we begin to believe we are a complete and total failure. In those instances, I encourage you tonight, you're still trying to follow Jesus, but there's been some distance come between you. But even remember this. There is purpose for every season. What Peter didn't know, and many of us today fail to realize, is Christ's love was greater than Peter's failure. And after Peter went out and wept, oh, praise God. When we fail to meet the challenge, there is a grace, there is a mercy that's far greater than our shortcomings. Somebody raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You've had some shortcomings. And so now Peter had a choice. He could have done what many of us do today and use our failures as an excuse as to why we can't continue seeing our miracle lived out in our lives, or we can have an encounter with the risen Savior. Like Peter did, because the angel at the resurrection told the little ladies, said, I want you to go tell his disciples and Peter that I'm going to see him in Galilee. Oh, hallelujah. And so the encounter with the resurrected Christ, Christ told Peter, he says, Peter, I'm not giving up on you. I want you to wait in Jerusalem because something better is coming. There's a new season. He told Peter, he said, I want you to leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has descended upon you. And right there in the upper room, Peter and 119 others began seeking God, having their hearts fixed on one thing and only one thing. They waited it out. They sought it out. They prayed it out. And then, praise God, the Bible says the Holy Ghost filled that place. And in the same way, He desires to consume those of us who unite in heart, unite in purpose, in one accord, who will wait it out. I tell you, you might have to wait a while. You might have to seek a while. You might have to pray a while. But here in Acts chapter 2, Peter finally stepped in to a new season. I said, Peter steps in to a brand new season. And it was the very season that we as a church can step in today. 2,000 years later, it's called Pentecost. I said, it's called Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. When I began to look at this, the Lord began to prompt my heart and ask me, how long has it been since you, Pastor, stepped into a new season of Pentecost? And I begin to pray in my office and say, oh God, I want to lead this church into a new season of Pentecost. I said, how many want to go into a new season of Pentecost? We've been in the old season long enough. The old season was good for a while, but it's time to move forward into a new season of Pentecost. I said, how long has it been since you stepped into a new season where it was easier to speak in the Holy Ghost than it was to speak English or Spanish? Huh? You got to throw that one in there. Huh? Wouldn't it be great if some of us would feel that freedom tonight to step into a new season of Pentecost for our families? The old season was okay for yesterday. I said the old season was okay for yesterday. But God, I'm wanting something new. The old season served its purpose, but I've been facing new challenges that a new Pentecost is the only answer for. Somebody obey God. Throw your hands up. Tell Him, Lord, I'm willing to pay the price. Ooh, God's in this house. I said, God's in this place. Ooh, I'm willing to count the cost. Ooh. Ooh. Wow. I'll stand to your feet. I believe God's in this house. Woo! My third point is simply this. A new season births new champions. Huh? I said a new season births new champions. Peter was transformed from a fisherman into a powerhouse for God. I said he was transformed into a powerhouse for God. Those people that knew him 3 years earlier did not even realize, hey, this guy is as different as daylight and dark. Why? Because he was born again, a new champion. Listen, God didn't save us to make us a bunch of chumps. And he created us to be champions that says we're going to be a generation that seeks God and receives a new Pentecost. Oh, raise your hands. Come down this aisle. Throw your hands up and say, God, I'll pay the price to help take Broadway Assembly into a new season of Pentecost. Woo! Shakatarana mahataya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 ladies. It's going to rest on you, ladies. Men, it's going to rest on your shoulders. You're going to be the one to take us to a new season. I said, God, give us a new season. Out with the old. In with the new.
Oh, it's your season.
I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for a new season.
God gave you a promise. You stood the test. He's going to open up the windows and pour you out a blessing. For it's your season to be blessed. Oh, it's your season to be blessed.
That's it, Mom and Dad.
God gave you
a promise. Children are here. Pray with them. Let's go into the new season together. I said, let's go into the new season together. Thank you, Jesus. Grandma and Grandpa, if your children are here or grandchildren, why don't you find them? Pray with them. Oh, let's go into the new season that God has for us. I'm going and taking my family with me. I'll not leave anybody behind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, sisters. Some mothers in Zion. Find some younger ladies and say, listen, sis, I'll walk with you into the new season. Brothers, older brothers, find a younger brother and say, I'll go with you, man. Let's go into this new season together. Oh, glory. Pour it out on us, God. Let this be a red letter night in the history of Broadway Assembly. God, we've prayed for it. We've waited on it. Let it happen. Let it happen. In Jesus.
To be blessed. God gave you the promise. You stood the test. He's going to open up the windows and pour you out a blessing. For it. it's your season to be blessed. Oh, it's your season.